Welcome to CRE Radio with Howard Klein, radio for and about the commercial real estate professional. Our focus is exploring issues facing landlords and tenants, property and asset managers, investors, brokers, lenders, and everyone in the industry. Our style is conversation over coffee with highly experienced commercial real estate professionals. Over 35 years, Howard's legal and commercial real estate practice has centered on broker, leasing, and property management issues. CRE Radio is presented with the intent of engaging, educating, and entertaining our audience. Access our archive shows, upcoming schedule, and engaging articles at creradio.com or subscribe to the show on iTunes by searching for CRE Radio. And now, here's Howard Klein.
Welcome to CRE Radio. Today's topic is getting commercial real estate news online, and we're going to focus on the news funnel. But in reality, I'm pulling a switch. Our special guest is Michael Beckerman. He's the CEO of the News Funnel. And I gave Michael an outline of what we were going to talk about. And we might get to that outline. I don't generally pull switches on my guests, but I think he's going to like
Lucky me.
Yeah, I think he's going to like what we've done here. Our call-in number is 619-393-6492. That's 619-393-6492. Press 1 to talk to go into the queue. You can also reach us at CRE Radio. That's the ampersand or at sign CRE Radio questions. Or online at questions@creradio.com. So before I get to fully and formally introduce Michael, let me just mention I had met Michael it was just before the Super Bowl. We were in New York. We were invited by the kind people over at Real Connects to preview their product, and I knew of Michael before then. However, that was the first time I actually met him, and interestingly enough, he had come to my attention. I kept on looking at this News Funnel thing and going, I really need to turn things around on Michael and interview him rather than him provide. He's going to actually be the news rather than him presenting the news as he does. And we met there. And then what happened is the people at Real Connects had us for dinner. They didn't cook us. We were sat at dinner at a very nice restaurant, and I was sitting next to Michael. And there was a genuine like. We hit it off.
It was like at first sight.
Yeah. We were just like, we were like kind people. And that's something that we're going to talk about in terms of social media and the interaction of social media when you meet people in person and the importance of likability or liking people. It's more of an emotional reaction. So before we go any further, why don't we have Michael give us a 60 – yeah, I'll give you a longer one here. I'll give you a 60-second.
Oh, boy.
Well, it could be 30 seconds. Why don't you give us –
I'll pick 10. I'll take 10. And you can only imagine, Howard, as somebody who spent their entire life in the public relations media world, getting other people uncomfortable in front of the media, that the fact that now the tables are turned on me, the irony has not escaped me here today. What I should really do, if I put on my PR hat, is I should be interviewing you. I should totally turn the tables, which I could do. I learned a little bit of how to do that, but we won't do that today. So thank you, Howard, for the invitation. A big fan of CRE Radio, and you have built an extraordinary brand and media property for yourself and for the industry, so we thank you, and I'm proud to be part of your show. Michael Beckerman is the founder of the News Funnel, and previously I ran a public relations firm called, creatively enough, Beckerman Public Relations for about 25 years. And I'm doing the News Funnel now full time.
And supporting yourself.
and supporting lots of people other than myself.
That's great. Well, that's about
it. So it goes. Okay.
So a lot of my focus is going to be on your blog. Now I sound like I'm from New York. Your blog, which is called, isn't it Second Time Around?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a really good blog. I enjoy reading.
Thank you.
I'm finding myself just being educated, and I relate to what you write about. And so a lot of the focus is going to be on what you have written about in your blog, partly because that gives some insight into who you are and why you've done things. And on a number of your blogs, you actually explain that and describe why you created the news funnel and what the need was that you perceived. Before we get into that kind of detail, though, I want to get back to this issue of like and social media. What does that mean to you? You didn't prepare yourself for that question.
No, that's a great question. That's a great question. It's actually one that I think about and talk about a lot with my small group of friends and peers. You know, I'm not somebody that is particularly active on social media. Just by personality, I'm you know, try and be more on the humble side, a little more private, rather talk about the other guy or person than myself. So I'm not somebody that likes to share a lot of things or broadcast a lot of things. But, you know, you try and change and adapt to the new world, and you start to see the power of social media in terms of connections and marketing and awareness, knowledge, things like that. So someone like me, you know, I embrace social media from more of a discovery point of view, and less of a pure broadcast point of view. And I try and be very respectful of these very powerful tools. So one of the things is I've gotten more active in social media and continue to keep, you know, a lot of what I'm doing private, both my personal life and my professional life, is you start to see how many people truly just take advantage of social media. I'm the type of guy that recoils from a lot of that. You see how people use a LinkedIn, for instance, to just spam the hell out of as many people as they can with products and offerings and connections. And I'm sort of the guy that uses LinkedIn but will use it very discreetly. If I want to meet somebody, I'll make it a very personalized approach. I'll try and get to know them and just be real sensitive to coming across as somebody that's just looking to spam the world. So my blog is something I was very reluctant to do because, again, you know, I don't want to come across as somebody that's on these narcissistic rants. And, you know, what do I have to say that's important? I'm just a lowly, you know, PR guy, new startup. But then, you know, I started to hear some positive feedback about my blog, and people started to appreciate it, and fellow entrepreneurs, where I said, you know, I enjoy it as writing it as much as I do, you know, the feedback that I get from others. So there's a bunch of people that I follow, and it's worked out well for me. And we, of course, on my site, we use social media very, very aggressively, and it's worked well. But I think as you and I talked, there's a real tendency for people to take advantage of all these tools, and they don't really still understand that there's fundamentals. You've got to, you know, be somebody that people want to talk to. You got to learn how to listen. You've got to be prepared when you meet people and do your homework. And all those basic fundamental things that existed before social media, I think, are even more important now that people adhere to them.
Yeah. Well, what is social media advertising? Is it PR? What really is it from your perspective?
Great question. You should be talking to Lindsay. She's in charge of social media at the News Funnel. She knows this stuff. She went to went to college for it. Got some kind of fancy degree. You know, I think for me, it's for social media. It's just, you know, fundamentally, it's a way to communicate and target using some you know, online tools that can help you get your message out. There's no different than, you know, what we used to do in the old days, whether it was direct mail or advertising. It's just another form of marketing and knowledge accumulation.
Let me throw this thought out to you. When you send out direct mail, that's a one-way communication. And in social media, you hear a lot about inbound marketing. What I see social media is, and the significant difference of social media versus advertising and PR, is that there's tremendous value in the interaction. You always want people to respond to you, to do things, to communicate back to you. And I think that is probably the biggest difference between advertising. It is nothing different than old-fashioned networking, but it's done on a much larger scale. I mean, the internet is using the internet, and I'm going to be writing about a lot of this stuff, is where property managers, you know, residential property managers, you know, I ask them, well, are you involved in social media? Yes. You know, what we do is at this complex, we post all the things that are going on. And to them, that's social media. And to me, that's nothing more than a billboard. To me, social media is communicating back and forth.
Well, I completely agree with that, although I think there is a big segment of the population that wants social media, just doesn't want the social part. Mm-hmm. And I find in our particular industry, there's a lot of people like that that aren't looking for the two-way, that just really want, like me, a way to more effectively use new media to either communicate more effectively, target more effectively, you know, promote yourself, but in a more intelligent way. And so you might not get a lot of the two-way, but it's still a very powerful tool for you to broadcast. I just think that there's so many people that broadcast incorrectly. And when I go around the country and I'll do demos of the news funnel and I'll meet with different commercial real estate professionals in different markets, I hear a lot of like, hey, I want to get involved in this thing called social media, but I don't really necessarily want to tell everybody all my secrets or my strategies and what I'm working on. And I don't want to come up. So what do I do? And I say things like, well, a blog is a great tool. You know, I've got a great friend, Jeremy Neuer, who's a broker at CBRE in New Jersey. He's got a terrific blog. You met him at the dinner at Real Connect.
Sure.
And I don't know that there's a great deal of back and forth on his blog or my blog. I mean, Duke does, of course, because, you know, he drops as many F-bombs as he can. And I think that gets people excited, which is great. But I think, you know, there's a lot of us that just want to put out some intelligent information. And so maybe social media is a very, very too broad of a category. My big thing that I'm incredibly passionate about and obsessed with in terms of media is self-publishing. And I don't know, you're the expert, if that falls under social media or not. But it's one of the reasons why I got into the news funnel and turned over my PR firm to my partner and some really competent people, was because, you know, I saw this phenomenon coming in the business world about self-publishing, whether you're an individual like Jeremy Duke or Coy, Howard Klein, or whether you're a corporation. These tools, if used effectively and you're sensitive to the way that you're coming across, can be incredibly powerful platforms mm-hmm. for you to broadcast your messages. Like, look at you have on CRE Radio. I mean, that's a platform.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't necessarily – we don't need to have, you know, back and forth. We don't need to share so much, but we're communicating in just a little bit of a different way. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think commercial real estate has been slow to adopt to social media, in the sense that because – we eat what we kill, right, in this industry. So people don't want to share so much. But and they think, well, I'm not going to do social media because I don't want to share. but there's other things you can do to take advantage of. And that's one of the things I try and do with my blog, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. Now, we are talking with Michael Beckerman. We're going to take a short break, after which we're going to talk about, you know, the best way to write a blog and communicate and use social media and the internet, self-publish. We're going to be talking about that, not just that you should be doing, but Michael's thoughts on what's good and what's not good right after this break.
CRE Radio is supported by Prospect Now. Locate building owner principals faster and smarter at prospectnow.com. By The Broker List. Find brokers, deals, services, and vendors free online at thebrokerlist.com. And by Techniques Marketing. Grow your key account revenues at techniquesmarketing.com.
If you're a retail tenant, you really should belong to the NRTA. They're an organization of the tenants, by the tenants, and for the tenants. Whether you manage a large portfolio or just a mom and pop, the National Retail Tenants Association is on your side. NRTA exists to protect retail tenants everywhere and to make sure landlord billings are correct. Don't wait for your next statement of CAM charges to arrive. Log on to retailtenants.org. That's retailtenants.org. Find out more today.
Commercial brokers spend more time selling and less time organizing with Building Blocks CRE. Built by brokers for brokers, Building Blocks CRE is the dead simple, best business organizer out there. Set up and learn in minutes. Track deals, contacts, listings, and more. Easier than ever before. Right now, save 10% when you visit blockcre.com. Use promo code Howard. Remember, Building Blocks CRE. Easy to learn, easy to use. See for yourself. Log on to blockcre.com.
If you have questions or a point you would like to make during the live show, call in at 619-393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue to speak live with Howard and his guests. That's 619-393-6492 during the live show, then press 1 to be placed in queue.
And welcome back to CRE Radio. We're talking with Michael Beckerman. Before I go on any further, I want to mention I get to your blog because we're going to be talking more about this. It's www, and I've been told that I don't need to say that anymore, secondtimearoundblog.com/tag/Michael-Beckerman/. So I don't expect anybody to be able to go to the blog from that description, but we'll have it up on the website. So if you're listening to this, certainly I'm going to make sure that you can, and we'll include that as a link. So you just wrote a recent blog article about Mark Cuban. Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, thanks, Howard. I do enjoy the blog. I actually I try and write one or two a week. I've got a theme that I try and stick to with the blogs, which is about entrepreneurship, about, you know, one of the themes, the name second time around is because it's my second company, having built the PR firm. And it's about, you know, lessons learned and entrepreneurship and content, discovery, observations, social media. So I try and stick to those sort of core themes. And I always try and interject a little bit of my personality, which is a little self-deprecating. I try and have some degree of humility in my persona. And you know, not
so well.
Exactly. You know, try not to come across too flashy, right? And I'm not a stuff kind of guy. Never was motivated by it. So, you know, Mark Cuban's a guy that obviously I'm well aware of and, followed his kind of journey. I think I saw something on Bloomberg about him when he sold Broadcast.com and the whole story about that and the Mavericks. And it just, you know, for me, the things I would see was just a little bit too much, the planes, the trains, the automobiles. So I was, you know, typical kind of guy that I would get turned off by. And, Yeah, then I just started popping up, you know, an article here, and then I saw his blog when I was researching my blog and the format and things like that. And I was like, oh, you know what, I got to give this guy a second look. And then my wife's into the Shark Tank, and I watched that with her a few times. And I was really struck by his sincerity and his insights. And there was one of the shows on last week that really got to me, where he had these young kids on, and he was really trying to be very kind to them and mentor them and give them some good advice and root for them. And I was like, you know, that's a blog right there. I'm going to write about how Mark Cuban is, for what it means to him, I'm sure absolutely nothing has gotten my respect now. So I wrote a little blog entry on that. Had a little fun with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you didn't just write a blog. You contacted him.
Well, he said in one of the shows that I was watching, he says, you know, and anybody can email me and I'll respond to him, but, you know, don't call me and I don't take meetings and blah, blah, blah. So I was some ridiculous hour one night and I'm trying to get the news funnel off the ground and it's 1 a.m. or something like that and everybody's asleep in the house and I was just like, you know what, I'm going to find this guy's email address and it's easy to find. Sent him an email, like, literally like 15 minutes later, boom, ping, he responded. So I was like, and of course, you know, my wife's the skeptical one, so she's probably like, oh, he probably has all these assistants that are sitting there and responding to all his emails. And I said, no, I don't think so. I mean, it was this quick email exchange. It lasted a couple minutes. It was back and forth. He was very focused on my premise and asked some really challenging questions in the email and then just said, you know what, not for me, but good luck. And I was like, that was pretty cool.
Well, you know, if Mark Cuban, you know, most people would take the attitude, and I wrote this in a comment on your blog, most people take the attitude that if Mark Cuban says, yeah, it's not for me, then it's a bad idea. And to me, I'm just the opposite. Because if someone tells me it's a bad idea, I listen, I analyze. But if I believe that it's a good idea, I move forward. And even the CRE radio, I've had a number of people that I highly respect have said, yeah, I don't like the business model. And they're probably right, but I'm passionate about it. And I'm moving forward one way or the other. And that's the only way that you can be successful.
I think that's one of my sort of, you know, core lessons that I learned as an entrepreneur. You sent me some questions to think about for the show. So I was thinking about that and, you know, asked me like, you know, what are some of the most important things, advice you could give to a, you know, another entrepreneur? And I would say it's really, you know, the ability to sort of drown out all the naysayers. I think Steve Jobs said something about that in his famous Stanford speech about, you know, what differentiates, I think, entrepreneurs like you, like me, I think, is that, and it's not right or wrong, it's just kind of who we are, is that, you know, we have this core conviction of something, and while we listen and we try to be thoughtful and analytical and the pros and the cons and be objective, we're not going to be you know, distracted or dismayed or prevented from realizing our vision. And it's about, for at least for me, the journey as much as it is anything. And when I started my PR firm, it was in the late 80s. I remember that, you know, it was a terrible time in the real estate industry, right? And everybody told me, you're crazy to go after commercial real estate. First of all, commercial real estate wasn't a big sector. It, you know, it just wasn't what it is today. And they said, you know, crazy, just don't do it. And it sort of felt like I was climbing this mountain. I was a young kid in my early 20s, and everybody on the way down was saying, don't go up there. It's bad. It's scary. Don't go. And I was like, well, you know, my personality, I'm going to go poke around the corner and see what's there. And yeah, it was really scary. And, you know, the people were tough and the market was horrible. And I built this niche in commercial real estate. And there were other firms doing what I was doing, but really nobody was focusing on commercial at that time. And I built out this PR firm that was really known as one of the top commercial PR firms in the country. And nobody was doing it. And now there's a lot of great firms that are doing it. And it's the same thing with the news funnel. When I set out on that journey, you're going to get killed. Google's going to kill you. They're going to put you out of business. This one's going to kill you. They're never going to do it. You're too old. You don't know anything about technology, blah, 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 blah. You don't have any money, blah, blah, blah. And that's the sort of thing that just motivates me and fires me up even more. And, yeah, every day someone says to me, every day they look at me with that puzzled look, I don't get it. I don't see it. Nah. And you got to have that core conviction that says, I see it. I see where the puck is. I see where it, you know, where it's going. And I'm going to stick to that vision and not get deterred by the naysayers, because you got to have that sort of conviction, you know? So that's kind of what, you know, inspires me. I think the other thing is, for me at least personally, you know, I was a very, very underachieving kid. I was a terrible student. I was a D student at best, with bribery to some of my teachers, whether it was candy or kisses or whatever I had to do. Terrible student. And, you know, I was the kid that kind of got left behind, and everybody said, oh, he's not going to amount to anything, not going to do it. And I really wasn't. I mean, I was lazy and not motivated and laid on the couch. And I grew up in a family of artists. So, you know, making money and being in business was not something that they stressed every day. And then when you get a little bit of taste of, like, oh my gosh, I think I can do this, and you go from an underachiever to an overachiever, it's life defining and life changing. And so I think we have that in common.
What was the trigger that turned you from an underachiever to an overachiever?
I can't believe we're talking so personal, but I was a terrible student. I could only get into one small school, which I won't mention, in Connecticut, because I don't want to disparage the school. And it was the only one I could get into, and I went into the basic studies program. It was the only one that accepted me, and I don't know why. I know why now, but again, that's for the next dinner. And I went there for a year, and I was just completely miserable, and I was walking by a classroom, and I saw a sign, a poster on the wall that said, study abroad. And I had never left my little town in New Jersey. Maybe I went to the Jersey Shore a couple times, but I had never ventured out of the country. And I was like, you know what, screw it, I'm going to go for it. Came home, told my parents, I'm going to go away for a year. And I didn't really understand what that meant, but I was going to do it. Just was unhappy with where I was. Next thing I know, I'm landing in Heathrow, and I'm, you know, 19, I think. And so I spent about a year and a half in London. And the first at a college, University of London, I applied directly. So it wasn't sort of some exchange thing. I just applied to it. I don't know why I got in either. Maybe I was a quota. And then for the first 6 months, nobody talked to me. And I thought, you know, I'm from America, the land of Michael Jackson and Madonna at that time, and Bruce Springsteen, and everybody wants to talk about America, but nobody wanted to talk to me. So for months, I just walked around London aimlessly. I don't think I talked. I don't think I spoke a word. And then one day I took this class. And they had these small classes, and you'd go up to your professor's sort of like a little apartment or whatever, and there'd be like six kids there. And they were all, again, British, very bright kids. It was a good school. Again, I don't know how I got in. And we were taking a course on Vietnam, and he turned to me in front of these kids and with these steel eyes. I'll never forget. His name was Dr. Sassoon. And he said, you know, the problem with his beautiful accent, not the way I talk, in my nasally New Jersey voice, he said, the problem with Americans is they only ever take into consideration their perspective. And I was like, oh, that's big friggin' moment. And I started to see the problem with London, my experience, the reason I had no friends, the reason why all these things were happening was because I was completely inward focused. And it completely changed my life, that comment. And I saw, hey, you know, if you want to change things, you got to be change has to start with you. And you know, I got more motivated. I knew what to do to how to, you know, be a little bit more outgoing and meeting friends. And then I had the greatest year of my life. Came home with great confidence that I survived that experience of, you know, I was a janitor. I didn't have any money, so all these kids were going out all through Europe. I was cleaning toilets and having tea breaks with my fellow custodians at the time, who were all in their 50s and 60s, and they had a few teeth left. And it really gave me the confidence to take my life into my own hands. And I came home and said, you know, I want to learn about business. And I started to read newspapers and magazines about, you know, I'd read Forbes and Business Week and the Wall Street Journal. And I sort of self-taught myself, you know, as much as I could about business. And then I started my PR firm. And that was so long-winded, narcissistic rant. But that's what happened. That's how I did it.
Forget about this long-winded narcissist. That's a great story. I mean, that's a great lesson in life story for anyone who struggles. I mean, how many kids are out there, I could yell at my own kids, where you know that they're really bright, but they don't get it. They don't get it. And they're no different from how I was. I just kind of aimlessly went through college and kind of law school because I had nothing. I didn't know what else I was going to do. So I might as well do that. And it just my entire life has been experiencing new things and evolving the entire time. And your story is a great story. I love your story.
No, I don't know about that, but you know, and now, so now today, fast forward, I'm approaching 50 in a couple months, and you know, I guess about 2008, 2009, I'd been running my firm for a very long time. I built it from scratch. I, you know, again, I didn't study journalism or media. I just figured it out and worked my ass off 7 days a week, still do. And but, you know, I knew it was kind of time for another frontier, and I had the confidence in myself from these experiences that I could do this and was willing to take the risk and leave my very successful firm to start over, because that sense of discovery was what I was motivated by, not taking the easy road, taking the hard road, just like you do with CRE Radio. It's not easy. You could have been doing a lot other things, I'm sure, to make a lot more money, but it's something you're passionate about. And that takes me all the way back to just the art of sort of self-creation and discovery. And I think that's why for me, always being passionate about the arts, you know, the blank canvas is what still motivates me. Is like, I didn't know anything about technology. I wasn't active in social media. I didn't really know much about, you know, media in a sense, because I was on the PR side, and I sat out to teach myself all that. And so I love what I'm doing. I don't second guess it for a second, although everybody around me says I'm friggin' crazy. but I can't wait to go to work in the morning. I can't wait. Yeah. I can't. Every waking moment I have, if it's not with my family and friends, I want to work. I love it.
Michael, can we pause briefly? We're going to have to go in with our sponsors here, our beloved sponsors. So why
love
don't you
them.
Stay with us when we come back? I really like to talk a little bit about. You wrote a blog post about social media, whether or not it's hurting or helping networking, and I think that's a great little topic. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about that.
CRE Radio is supported by Monogram Magic. For the best in corporate apparel, visit logostolife.com. By Note Marketplace. Buy and sell notes online at notemarketplace.com. And by Building Blocks CRE. Manage contacts, properties, listings, and more at blockscre.com.
The Institute of Real Estate Management believes good management matters and that well-managed properties pay big dividends. IREM delivers the power of knowledge and recognizes the importance of sharing it. IREM serves real estate professionals who manage all property types. They're dedicated to delivering cutting-edge networking and educational opportunities for every stage of your career. How can IREM help you? To count the ways, log on to IREM Orange County, that's IREMOC.org. Learn more today.
What's next for commercial real estate and retail marketing? Pop-up retail, and it's here now. PopUpInsider.com is the premier online resource for owners to advertise and fill properties for temporary use. PopUpInsider.com is where merchants and brands shop for temporary locations. See for yourself. Go to PopUpInsider.com, create your own account, market your empty spaces, or view available locations for your business, all on one convenient site, PopUpInsider.com.
For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. Click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio or email to questions@CREradio.com.
Okay, and welcome back to CRE Radio. Thanks for being with us today. Mike, we're here with Michael Beckerman, and I think I misspoke. I was going to talk about social media, whether or not it's hurting or helping networking, but I'd actually like to skip to another article that you wrote, because this also touches upon what you were discussing a little bit earlier. That I wanted to talk about your article that you wrote, 57 Channels and Nothing On, which appeared to be inspired from the meeting, just the meeting that I was at. I didn't inspire it. But this is when you were talking with Jeremy, and we were apparently you had some very interesting comments, such as content drowning itself out. That's a great line. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think it's just a step back. So, you know, I got this sort of, you know, vision of content, and I've, you know, been working on it through the news funnel for years. And so what happened is, you know, we went from, just historically look at it, we went from trade journals where you would have a journal and you'd take it home on the weekends and you'd read everything and it was all there, and you had a couple of them and they were big and thick and you know, tons and tons of content. And the media controlled that content. They were the purveyors of content, right? And you had folks like me trying to convince them on behalf of somebody who was paying me to put it into their publication. So that gets completely disrupted and changed forever with the advent of all the social media, with the LinkedIns and the Facebooks and the Twitters and all that great stuff that's out there. So what happens? At first, it's sort of like, you know, and our industry is the laggard. No disrespect to our industry, but, we do tend to embrace technology a little slower than others. So all the big brands get into it. All the consumer brands go first and they populate it with all their content. It's great. And then, you know, the B2B community picks up on it and they start to publish their own. And a lot of these tools, they're not governed by anybody. They're not governed by the companies. I think some of the larger companies are getting a little bit more control over what's on social media from their employees. But a lot of it, you know, anybody can post on LinkedIn. And so particularly in LinkedIn, and this is the backlash that I keep hearing about LinkedIn, is there's no filter. So that's why I don't look for news on LinkedIn or even on the news feeds, because I'll see the same article 16 times by 17, you know, people, or keep uploading the same thing and the same thing and the same thing. So whatever message you're trying to get out there, it's getting lost. It's really getting buried in this sea of just overwhelming content. And again, that was sort of my vision with my site was, hey, there's got to be a platform where all this can live, right? There's got to be a hub where the media, blogs, press releases, market research, video, it lives somewhere. But not just that, there's got to be some sort of filtration product that lets you, you know, determine what you want based on the market, the topic, et cetera, et cetera. So my 57 Channels Nothing On was sort of about that there's just so much content, but there's very, very few filter devices, tools out there that enable you to really just customize what you want. And I think a lot of the content's getting sort of dumbed down, because particularly if you look on LinkedIn, it's why so many of me and my friends and peers turn it off, because, you know, it's not really relevant. It's not really relevant. It's not actionable. So all people are doing is reposting other people's content. I don't need you for that. And that's what drives me crazy. That was sort of what motivated that topic.
You know, I will say, particularly on Twitter, I do repost other people's content, but that's only a portion of what I do. And this is when we were talking about social media, and what I vision social media is that often when I repost something, I also comment on it.
That's the difference, Howard. That's the difference. See, you understand how to do it. That's no problem with reposting, but if that's all you do, that's that's spam. That's annoying. That turns people off. But I've seen your stuff. First of all, you know how to do it. So I read all your stuff. You repost with a comment. You comment on other people's blogs like mine and Duke's and others. And then you have your own platform, your CRE Radio. And so when I go around the country and I talk to different real estate professionals, and they come up to me and quietly they whisper, you know, what's a blog? How do I access it? Where are they? How do you get it? What does it look like? What should I create one? These are the people that we're talking about, the examples that I say. These are the people that know how to do it well. And, you know, Coy does it great. Duke does it great. You do it. I mean, Alan does it. I mean, those are the examples. Jeremy, those are the examples how to do it well. But most aren't doing it that well.
We're going to have to take another short break, and when we come back, I want to talk about what is good, fresh, original content. I think that's a quote from your blog. Did you really think that I was going to deal so much about your blog?
No, it's cool. I'm flattered.
No, you write a really good blog. I started going.
I would have to start really putting more time into it now that I know somebody's paying attention.
No, what happens, it catches your eye, and then you kind of go, I kind of like this. So I had seen it before, and when we were going to, a couple of weeks ago, when we decided on doing the show, I looked at one of your blog posts and said, I like this. I think we'll talk about it. And then this morning, because I made the changes this morning I went ahead and I looked at it, and I started looking at all the stuff, and I'm going, man, there's just such great stuff to talk about here. This is really what I wanted to talk about with you on the show.
All right.
It gives insight into you. It's not the same old BS. And that's what I like about it. So why don't we take a short break? Because I've got to take care of my sponsors here. And we'll be back in just a few moments.
CRE Radio is supported by the National Retail Tenants Association. Learn more at retailtenants.org. By the Institute of Real Estate Management, supporting you at every stage of your career. And by Tactics, the magazine for shopping center marketing directors. Visit tacticsmagazine.com.
Attention commercial real estate brokers and professionals. Have you ever struggled to find the true ownership behind a commercial property? What about finding the phone number, email, and name of the actual decision maker? ProspectNow.com tracks this information on more than 10 million commercial and multifamily properties nationwide. Howard's listeners are invited to a 3-day free trial. Simply go to ProspectNow.com and enter the promo code Howard. Visit ProspectNow.com. How about now? While you're thinking about it.
Commercial brokers spend more time selling and less time organizing with Building Blocks CRE. Built by brokers for brokers, Building Blocks CRE is the dead simple, best business organizer out there. Set up and learn in minutes. Track deals, contacts, listings, and more. Easier than ever before. Right now, save 10% when you visit blockcre.com. Use promo code Howard. Remember, Building Blocks CRE. Easy to learn, easy to use. See for yourself. Log on to blockcre.com.
For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. Click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @creradio or send an email to questions@creradio.com.
And we have been talking with Michael Becker. And
Howard, I love the way you say that, by the way. I love that. If I was playing like professional sports, I would have you like Derek Jeter does, has the Bob Shepard guy, who's been passed away a long time ago, and call out his name and introduce him to every game, because that is just Michael Beckerman. I love that. Played for my kids.
Yeah, well, you should tell my son, who's engineering the show right now, and I will say, with all modesty, he's going to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo next year. He got accepted.
Wow. Congratulations.
And he's going for sports journalism. He wants to be a sports broadcaster, so he's really into this radio thing now. And by the way, SLO, or Cal Poly, is playing Wichita State today in the NCAA tournament. So do you follow that at all?
I should. I will at some point. I'll get into it.
Oh, no, don't. Don't. I picked Duke into the Final Four, and they lost to Mercer today. That bracket is shocked.
I haven't had time. I've been preparing for CRE radio all day, all night last night, so I missed it. I apologize.
Yeah. Well, I got news for you. I was so much into watching the game just before the show, I was thinking, maybe I don't have to do the show. Maybe I'll just call up Mike or cancel or something. So let's get back to the purpose of the show.
That's great.
Which is, what is good, fresh, original content? And in your blog post, you actually gave an outline and a couple of I'm going to quote something here where you say, with real journalism being something we see less and less of these days and more puff journalism out there, brands have discovered how much easier it is to use promoted stories and are willing to pay for them. Promoted stories. What are promoted stories?
Wow. Now I've got to put on my sales hat, I think, and start to promote my promoted stories. Well, they're just, you know, promoted tweets or just, you know, in Facebook has promoted stories. I think LinkedIn has it. It's just really taking content, putting it in any of these news feeds and paying a price, you know, paying a fee to have it embedded with permanence, whatever duration it is. So, you know, that's sort of the new advertising landscape now. Less banner ads, less traditional ads, more content that you can pay to post into, you know, news feeds. We have it at the News Funnel. All the major sites have it. If you look at the New York Times, they have it now. The Wall Street Journal has it now. I mean, it's incredible fast people are acknowledging that this has, you know, I think it has legs. It definitely has legs. Because, you know, again,
isn't that what I'm doing?
There's all, everybody's creating content. Everybody, content farms is a concept in our industry. There are people that are just writing and creating all this content. Now, what do you do with it? So you promote it and you can pay for it to place it. That's what it is.
Well, that's somewhat what I'm doing because there's not enough content out there. So you start creating this content. And, you know, really what I tell people when they become guests on the show, you know, I say, well, this is not, we don't do infomercials here. So you're not going to be on the show and start talking about how great the services that you provide or how great your product is. But we're going to talk about a subject matter and that if you're intelligent, if you're articulate and knowledgeable, then hopefully people will react and go, I really like that guy. I might need some help. Let me give him a call.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that what content journalism is?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, and we could go on for hours about, I mean, again, I'm a guy that spent most of the last 30 years creating content in some form, whether it be, you know, press releases or white papers. Or so I think I have a little bit of a good understanding of what's good content. And so what we've seen now in the first phase of this social media in the business world, the wild, wild west is just people are backing up their trucks and dumping every piece of content they possibly can into the market. And so there's a backlash, and now it becomes noise, right? Because it's so easy to do. I could go find an article somewhere. I could post it. I can, you know, I can write my own. I can post it. So, you know, there's going to be more and more guys like me creating filtration tools, right, that can box out or edit out things you don't want, either through, you know, algorithms or manually or what have you. And now I think the next frontier is going to be good content. So what's good content? What makes it good, you know?
What's good content? Yeah, let me go through your list here. I'll help you out. Because yesterday I met with Linda Day Harrison and Alan Buchanan and Chris Barbieri and, you know.
Yeah, big fans of all of them.
Yeah, so the tweet friends all got together and we took this picture. And actually, Alan's going to have a little bit of a surprise from it. And we got into this conversation about my radio shows, that they all, you know, they all felt that my radio shows are too long. And I said, well, for a portion of my audience, the answer is that is a correct analysis. But well, let's talk about it, because you start out, if you could see me, I ought to get onto this TV thing because I'm pointing to my screen going, I'm so into this. You use the word digestible.
Right.
Digestible. Let's talk about digestible.
Okay, so I mean that's a simple one. It can't be War and Peace. It's got to be Cliff Notes. It's got to be, you know, the thing about, and this is what I constantly remind my team about, my teammates at the News Funnel, and I remind my friends in the PR world that are, or the marketing world that are the gatekeepers or the creators of content. As I say, look, you got to realize in our world of real estate, where you eat what you kill, right? News is not ever going to replace data, right? Data is what makes people money. Data is actionable. It's the same thing in the financial community, right? It's that, you know, pricing changes, getting quotes, getting comps. It's why sites like CompStack have done so well. It's why, you know, 42 Floors and some of the others that are involved in, you know, data, information. So we're in the news business, right? So we have to recognize that we're never going to replace data. So if we make it too confusing or if it's not to the point and it's not actionable, people are going to tune us out, right? Because it's not – you don't wake up in the morning and go, oh, my gosh, so-and-so did so-and-so, and now I'm going to go figure out how to make money on that. And I'm going to put that, I'm going to store that in my brain, and it'll, you know, I'll try and make it actionable at some point. Maybe over lunch I can say, oh, I knew about this and this and this. So my first point is always it has to be digestible. If you make it too complicated, then people aren't going to read it because it's not make or break. So that's the first thing I always try to remind people about news and news consumption is it's got to be digestible.
Okay, so let's use me as an example. We can criticize me because I have no clue if what I do is right or wrong, good or bad. I mean, I do ponder that, and I hope what I do is good, but I don't really know because I don't believe anybody when they tell me that it's good. You know, I go, okay, it's because you're standing right in front of me or you want something from me. So that's where you and I are very similar. But we talked about my show. So, for instance, this radio show is going to be between an hour and a half long. And there are, for the broker audience that travels a lot, I have heard that they, you know, put it on their phone, they download it onto iTunes, and they listen to it over a period of time. And so Linda and Alan were saying, yeah, your show's too long. And I said, well, for those people, they don't want, you know, 2 or 3 minute, you know, tiny little clips that they can simply listen to, because then they have to download a whole bunch and they have to constantly change. Where if I can provide content over a longer period of time and have some in-depth, you know, that'll satisfy those people. But for someone who's sitting down at their computer, you know, I don't want to sit down for an hour and a half. The videos are a minute to maximum 5 minute long, and it's usually 1 to 3 minutes. And soon we're going to be doing these shorter audio clips and shorter, you know, like TV shows and stuff. So we're going to have a mix. But how do you know? I mean, is digestible just the length?
No, So I think, first of all, when it comes to your particular show, your medium is so different that it's you can't compare it to what a tweet might be, a minute video, a press release. Because it's apples to oranges. So you can't – so the comment about it's too long – well, yeah, it's too long for a soundbite, but it's not a soundbite. So I think for you personally, Howard, like I would just be, you know, You always want to get comments and feedback, but I think you got to also consider that, you know, your platform is very, very different and unique, and people will find it, and those that want that kind of product are gonna love it, right? But it might not be for everybody, but and it's they're gonna accumulate the content in different ways and at different times. But it's not, when I say actionable, it's not just about or digestible. It's not just about the length. It's about, you know, Does it resonate? Is it relevant? Is it something I can do something with? Did I learn something? It's got to be, you know, I got to be able to put that all into something and have a takeaway. And that's what I say about digestible. It's not just the length. It's about, you know, when I was done with it, is there two or three takeaways? And that has nothing to do with the medium itself. That has to do with the content.
Have you ever been to like a 3-hour conference or seminar?
The closest thing I think to that would be a Bruce Springsteen concert, if that's relative. No, I don't do conferences. not a conference kind of guy.
I've gone to conferences and seminars. It's part of both being a broker and attorney. We have to get continuing education.
Yeah, sure.
And often they're like in 3-hour blocks. Sometimes they're in 1-hour blocks. But I eventually developed an attitude that, you know, if I go to a full day seminar, if I walk away with 2 or 3 things that are really important out of a full day, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's digestible. That's what I mean.
Yeah. No, I think that's what I mean.
You had a takeaway. Yeah, as long as you have a takeaway and you can do something, that's good. So that's what I look for in content. So it doesn't matter if it's 6 pages or a page or a minute video. Is it, you know, what do I do with it? Did it get me somewhere? Or did it just ramble? And that's what I'm trying to talk about when I say digestible.
Why don't we pay some attention to the people who pay the bills around here, and when we come back, we're going to go on with more of the What is Good Content with Michael Beckerman.
CRE Radio is supported by Monogram Magic. For the best in corporate apparel, visit logostolife.com. Buy Note Marketplace. Buy and sell notes online at notemarketplace.com. And by Building Blocks CRE. Manage contacts, properties, listings, and more at blockscre.com.
The Institute of Real Estate Management believes good management matters and that well-managed properties pay big dividends. IREM delivers the power of knowledge and recognizes the importance of sharing it. IREM serves real estate professionals who manage all property types. They're dedicated to delivering cutting-edge networking and educational opportunities for every stage of your career. How can IREM help you? To count the ways, log on to IREM Orange County. That's IREMOC.org. Learn more today.
What's next for commercial real estate and retail marketing? Pop-up retail, and it's here now. PopUpInsider.com is the premier online resource for owners to advertise and fill properties for temporary use. PopUpInsider.com is where merchants and brands shop for temporary locations. See for yourself. Go to PopUpInsider.com, create your own account, market your empty spaces, or view available locations for your business, all on one convenient site, PopUpInsider.com.
For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. Click the comment button on any show page at CREradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio or email to questions@CREradio.com.
And we are back with Michael Beckerman with the News Funnel. Okay, so we really could spend hours upon hours, and we don't have enough time. So I'm not going to go through every one of your items that you believe are good content, but there are one or two that I think are really important. And here's one: honest. People love read content that also reflect the author's true life experiences. And this is something I would also use the word genuine, because in social media, it tends to be really easy to tell if someone's BSing. What are your thoughts on honesty?
Well, it's funny, Howard, because my blog that I wrote for this week, well, posted on Monday, is all about how a little bit of a different subject, but the same subject, about brand building. And, you know, I was struck on, you know, these journeys that I go on, and I meet with all the companies, and all these companies are talking about, we're the brand, we're going to become the brand, we're going to become the media, we're going to create our own content, we're going to be the destination, blah, 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 blah. And I sit, and I'm very respectful. I say, sure. But it's not genuine. I mean, that's not a genuine brand. I mean, a genuine brand is made up of individuals, because individuals are what really, truly define a meaningful and a lasting brand. So what do I mean? So that's why I keep talking to professionals like Jeremy Duke, Barbie, you, and this, you know, sort of cottage industry that's starting to form with brand creators. And all of you, everybody has their own unique voice, and their personality comes through clearly when you read these people's blogs and their content. You can, without even having met them, you know who they are, what they're passionate about, what they're good at, and what they're smart at. And those are the best pieces of content where you come through as a genuine, honest individual. And at the same time, you know, you can subtly promote yourself and offer great advice and use great examples, and that's the future. So there might be 25 or 50 of those folks doing it now, but there will be hundreds, if not thousands, very soon, because I think this is what the next big sort of wave is. But again, more than just reposting, coming up with a blog, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I've been seeing lately a lot of comment about paying attention to what's trending, so that if you're going to write, you write about what's trending because people are paying attention to it. What are your thoughts on that?
That's a really good question.
It's a strategy.
It is a strategy. That's what they'll tell you, you know, in sort of brand building 101 is follow the trends, follow what's current, follow what's happening now, because then you'll get into the news stream. But again, I think if you do that, there's also a danger, if that's your core strategy, to sort of lose your personality in that, because then you're just following current events. Another great example of a great brand builder, I think one of the best I've seen in all my years, is Bob Knackle of Massey Knackle. And if you watch, he's built an extraordinarily successful brokerage firm in New York and other markets, and, you know, several hundred employees, and he has his own blog, his own video, and it's content related, it's research related, mm-hmm. with a personality. And the guy's running mm-hmm. a major firm. That's how you do it.
Yes.
If you want an example, I don't think Bob's following trending topic. He might be in terms of real estate, you know, what's hot, what's not, but that's how you do it. Just follow that guy.
Well, I think that you can pay attention to trending topics, and if you find something that inspires you, that's fine, because you can be genuine then. But the danger is that, and there's just so much of this out there, is that people will write about a trending topic without being genuine. I mean, they don't really care, but they go, well, this is what everybody else is listening to, so I'll write about it. And it comes across insincere. It's kind of like if you ever go to Universal Studios and you see the facade of the house, but there's not a house behind it.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. So I think, you know, the way to do it, it's really not that hard. The tools are really easy to use. I think you just kind of define what it is your brand's going to be, what your personality, define, you know, what is it the messages that you want to communicate, and, you know, whether you're following a trending topic or whether you're commenting about a recent experience. You know, as long as those themes stay consistent throughout, I think that's how you do it, and it works. You can get business out of it. But again, you know, we started the show talking about all the things that people are doing wrong. These are the people that are doing it right. So Those are great examples, and you're absolutely top of the list.
Exactly. Let's talk a little bit about where you say, and now the bad. What is an example of bad content?
That's a good one. I'm trying to. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. No, I think bad content is it's overly self-promotional. Mm-hmm. I think when it comes across as an advertisement, I see again on some of the social media channels that I'm on where people are just, you know, they're using these channels to sell products, and that's bad content. When you're putting mm-hmm. something out there that says, you know, I got an interest rate here, come and get it. For me at least, that's not the way to do it. Like you said previously, establish a relationship, know your audience, and don't be a spammer. So I think a lot of it has to do with just generic crap that people just post without any thought of what's the message, and all they're trying to do is check a box that says, oh, I did it. I posted. I fulfilled the quota. So I think it's, you know, that's one. I think it's overly self-promotional. I think it's selling. Those are the things that really turn me off, and I think turn off a lot of people.
As a reality, what's the percentage of people who are actually going to get? Because the social media and the internet has opened up marketing to the entire world. Anybody can do it. And out of that group, how many people are really going to get it?
Yeah, I don't think a lot. I mean, I think what always seems to happen is you've got when the sort of the stampede starts, you've got a mad rush and everybody takes advantage of it and they're not thinking about it and they're not being strategic. And then you've got a few people who know how to do it right. And I think those are the people that separate themselves from the pack. And I hear it now on my travels, you know, when I'll hear somebody say, hey, they'll mention a blogger or they'll mention somebody that's in social media and say, you know, how do I do that? So I think what you're going to start to see is, you know, the pack's going to separate. And, just like people that still do direct mail, and nothing wrong with direct mail, and coupon stuffers in the newspapers and stuff. There's going to be people that just, you know, think, as we used to call it in the PR business, spray and pray is the way to go. And I think in today's age, that's going to reflect poorly on those that use those tactics.
Sure. We're going to skip now a little bit to some of the stuff that you probably prepared yourself for.
I'm never prepared. I follow your lead.
I can see if I don't at least ask you some of the questions in the outline that I had given to you a week ago.
What outline? I don't know what you're talking about. What outline? Of course, there was no outline.
Well, I wanted to give you some sort of hint as to what we were going to talk about, and then we didn't talk about it.
That's okay. Yeah, that's okay. A little bait and switch is good. Keeps people on their toes.
You have got a business, the News Funnel, that appears to be moving along very well. And you're catching more and more attention of various companies and businesses. I noticed that it was either today or yesterday that you're going to be on Globe Street.
Yeah, we've been on Globe Street now for a few weeks.
Yeah, so it seems like you're doing really well, and you started this new
Thank
business.
You.
So the question I have for you is,
what were you thinking? That's always the question I get.
Yeah.
What the hell were you thinking? What were you thinking?
As the founder and the leader of your organization, what is the most important trait that will lead to success that you... I'm trying to think of the correct word. Exude is not the correct word, but
yeah. Well,
trait that'll lead to success?
Well, that's a good question. I read something the other day. I think it was a blog. I think it's been around for a while. Where the guy was writing about when people ask him the question, "How's it going?" How just a crazy question that is for somebody who's in sort of startup mode and or running a tech company, small site, because, you know, you go from one minute, you're just absolutely panic stricken, the next minute euphoria and back and forth. And so how's it going? I mean, you know, ask me in 30 seconds and I'll give you a different answer than right now. So it's hard, you know, you measure success. I mean, for me personally, success is just, you know, do I believe 110% in the core mission of the project? Absolutely. Are there ways that we quantify success? Yeah, sure. We can absolutely do that. But ours is a little bit different. And I think a lot of folks like you, like a lot of the other startups, you know, we've built something that doesn't really have any comps. So it's not like I can go out there and I say, hey, it's a Corvette, but it flies. You know, when I go out and I talk about the news phone, they look at me like I got two heads, probably because of the way I look. But, you know, we built something that doesn't really exist in the industry, which is, you know, very simply, it's sort of streaming news 24/7. And they look at us and go, huh? Why? Huh? Can I just go to Globe Street or go to the Times or the Journal or the, you know, Chronicle and just get the news when I, you know, in the morning, or can you send me an email or a newsletter? Why? And the premise is, well, there's so much wonderful content out there. You should be able to go find it when you want it, and it should be in one place, and you should be able to customize it because you're in LA and you're only interested in Office, and you want to follow CB and JLL and whomever, and you build a news feed. So our journey is one of really trying to communicate to the industry what our concept is and how it can benefit them, make them better informed, save them time, give them actionable content that's relevant to their life at their fingertips. So when you say how you're going to measure success is, you know, and I feel like we've really been able to penetrate that concept into the market, and we've got good adoption and engagement. That's when I'll feel like we've been able to do it.
How do you, you know, measuring? Because I get this all the time. It's like, how many listeners do you have? How many people read your blog post? You know, metrics. I love the metrics things. And, you know, when you're trying to, I think, brand or help someone else brand, I don't think it's all about metrics. Of course, if I had huge metrics, I would say it's all about metrics. But what are your thoughts on that?
I'm with you. I think when you're doing something that's new and original and creative, that's not something that I mean, I pay attention to it. Our team is measuring it, is measuring our measurement. But it's we've got to. It's like the Henry Ford comment, you know, about if I asked people, you know, what they wanted to drive, they'd still be driving horse, they'd still be, you know, riding around horse and buggies, right? right? I mean, so you're talking about something so conceptually that it's hard to just go with pure metrics in the beginning. And while I feel good about them, I always wanted to be better, and we're growing every single day. Now I'm looking for more stickiness, and more engagement, more comprehension,
sure.
And that's when I got to look at people in the eye, and that's why for me, you know, it's boots on the ground. You go out, you talk, you listen, you hear it, you get feedback, you see it.
One of the great things about Steve Jobs is he knew what people wanted before they knew.
Right. Well, that's the job. That's the job of all creators, right? Of whether you're an artist or whether, and sometimes you just gotta. One of the first quotes I read that I loved when I was building my war room to launch the news funnel, and I was running my PR firm all day and moonlighting at night, you know, my little library and at home, and I, you know, put up a war room of things that would inspire me, and you know, and there was a quote, a very simple old quote, I guess, about, you know, scratch your own itch, right? And I think all of us that are creators, we want to build things for us first, and we satisfy that customer. Because if we can satisfy that customer, we know there's more people like us. And so that's what I've always been driven by, that I know it's great for me. It saves me a hell of a lot of time, makes me better informed. I can get through all the news in any market in seconds. And that's made me better informed and saved me a hell of a lot of time. So yeah, that's what creators do. They see things. It's what Wayne Gretzky said, right, about the puck. They see things not where they are now, but where they should be and where they could be. And you got to have the fortitude and the stamina and the conviction to drown out the naysayers and get there. And we will.
Boy, did you say that? Yeah, I mean,
I think you should just cut me off now, because now I'm just rambling.
Oh, no. Yeah, you can only be downhill from here. Yeah,
exactly.
What you just said just spoke volumes to me, is that it's true. What I'm doing is I'm satisfying myself, because I'm the only person that I know, and I'm hoping that it satisfies other people, but I don't know. That's
great. That's it. That's exactly what you're doing, what I'm doing, and as many of us that are. We didn't take the easy route, right? There was a clear fork in the road, and we knew which one was going to be easy and which one was going to be hard. And some of us are just crazy enough to want to go towards the harder route, because it's what excites us, and that's you know, sort of who I am and who you are. So there you go.
Well, Michael, I would normally I close the show saying, you know, what's the one thing that someone should take away from it, but I don't know if that one thing could be any different from what you just said.
So I think I failed then, because it wasn't digestible.
Oh, man, it was digestible. And I got news for you. Not only was it digestible, it's actionable.
Well, and you know what? Most importantly, Howard, now I'm going to shut up. It was enjoyable. So thank you for letting me babble. Thank you for listening to me, because I'm going to go home soon and nobody's going to pay attention to me or listen to me. So for this hour and hour and a half, you made me feel important, and I appreciate it. And keep up the good work, because at least I can tell you that in my case, I think what you're doing is terrific.
Well, I got to tell you, it is true. For me, the one thing about, and I've said this time and time again, I love doing this. You know, if I could just sit all day long and pontificate with people like you, my life would be absolute bliss. And instead of me, you know, people have the perception that I'm teaching. Man, I'm learning. I'm just learning.
Well, I'll make a deal with you. How about I'll come back on if you'll have me, but I'll interview you. And we'll do it all over again and have some fun, okay?
I don't know. Well, thank you very much,
thanks,
Michael.
Howard.
And
keep
we'll
up the good work.
This,
continued success.
And the show should be available, you know, on a recorded version by Monday. And you've been a great guest, and hopefully we'll be able to see each other soon.
I hope so.
And
take care. Thank you again.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Please listen again next time to CRE Radio with Howard Klein. Every live and recorded broadcast is accessible on your desktop, tablet, or smartphone at creradio.com, or in iTunes, just search for CRE Radio. Here's how to reach us with your questions, feedback, and show topics you'd like to hear about. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CRE Radio, via email to questions@creradio.com, or call in during the live show at 619-393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue. CRE Radio broadcasts are presented on an informational basis only, with the intent of engaging, educating, and entertaining our listeners. Howard and his guests' conversations specifically do not offer legal advice. If you need legal advice, please consult your own attorney. Portions of the show may have been pre-recorded. Unauthorized editing or copying of the show without the express written consent of CRE Radio is strictly prohibited. All rights reserved.
And that's a wrap.